At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What's going on? This is your boy, Jay Will, your host of the Truth Ministries podcast. I'm here with my great friend and great apostle, the Bishop, the prelate, Bishop Hamner. How are you, sir?
I am well, Jay Will. I am well.
Thank you. That's good. That's good. You can find the Truth Ministries podcast on the Jay Will podcast interviews and commentaries platform on RSS.com. If you need more information, please hit me up at LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. Or you can email Bishop Hamner at truthministries30@gmail.com. They are the sponsor for the Truth Ministries broadcast. You donate to the Truth Ministries broadcast or podcast via the Kroger app under Kroger Community Rewards. Type in JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. And I tell you, if you need an explanation concerning the Word of God, you need to tap in to my Bishop, Bishop Isaac Hamner. All right, Bishop. So, good to have you on again. It's always good to talk with you, and I've enjoyed doing these podcasts. And I got to tell you, your subject that you sent me that you wanted to discuss tonight, a war on men, is kind of timely because I watched a couple of documentaries I listened to a couple of documentaries. I don't want to get in trouble with the popo for watching TV and driving at the same time. But my wife and I was listening at these documentaries, and one of them was on the Holocaust and the other one was on slavery. And the two similarities that I found to be very significant is what they did with the men. And so in the Holocaust, they started segregating the men from the women and the children. And they felt like that if they can segregate them, we're talking about the Jewish men from the Jewish women, they can segregate them, it will make them weaker. It will make their women and children more vulnerable. And most of the time, they just killed the men if they weren't able to work anyway. And, you know, years before that, the same diagram was used in slavery. They took the men, and once they were sold into slavery from Africa, via the Africans, if you will. Y'all can get mad with me if you want to, because it was the Africans that sold the black slaves to the Europeans. The Europeans brought them to America and to Europe, and they brought them to Spain, and they brought them to all these different other places. They brought them to Haiti. And the first thing they did was they separated, especially if they were married, they separated the men from the women. And they kept them separate because they felt like the family unit would be stronger. And so your subject with war on men is kind of timely since I looked at those documentaries. And I'm kind of fueled up and I'm kind of charged because I'm seeing the same thing that's, I don't want to say a learned pattern of behavior, but I'm considering it to be a learned spiritual pattern of behavior, because a lot of people don't know what happened to the Jews with the segregation of the men and the women, and what happened with the slaves with the segregation of the black men and the black women and their families. And this spiritual tie that we have in that is still affecting us to today. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. And ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your hats. I also want to remind you, this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be used as a legal, health, or tax, or medical advice of any kind. We are not responsible if you go out and start doing heinous stuff because you listen to this podcast. This is not what this podcast is for. It's to give you information, not only on a natural level, but a spiritual level. Okay, Bishop, I'm done rambling. What's going on, Bishop?
So when you started Isaiah 3:12, and there's two primary scriptures that we're going to use to try to bring some context to what you had stated concerning the Holocaust and concerning slavery and their similarities. So the first, we'll start with Isaiah 3:12, then we'll go to Isaiah 4:1. But Isaiah 3:12 reads as follows. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to error and destroy the way of your paths. And then Isaiah 4:1, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. So even before slavery, even before the Holocaust, one of the adversary's tools are to separate the family. And when we look at the Garden of Eden, I didn't want to read the scripture, but we can bring it out. If we look at what Satan did, the very thing he did was divided a family that was in harmony. And he did it through the woman. Although the scripture is clear that Adam is the one that committed the sin, not the woman. But anytime the adversary, who is the prince of the air, and that is the airwaves, so that's Meta, Snapchat, Instagram, anytime he is able to cause a wedge in the family, he's doing well. So anytime children are calling their parents by their first names, anytime children have more rights than their parents, anytime the courts are favoring children and women over men, you're going to have a system that is out of balance and out of line with the word of God. So Satan was successful in driving a wedge in the family by causing the woman to listen to someone else other than her partner. And I want to repeat that.
Man.
Anytime the adversary is able to get the woman to listen to someone other than their partner, then you are on the path of shipwreck. And when we take all of these and put them together on a timeline, I'm going to show you how, one, when women are listening to others other than their spiritual head, the high priest of their family, and when the children actually have more rights than the parents, then that out of alignment trickles down to society, and society is not going to be able to function. So anytime you want to control a group of people, you always start with controlling their children and their women. And if you are able to successfully control their women and their children, and you cause a separation, you then have the man in a precarious position where he cannot take a place of leadership and fight the way he needs to fight for his family. And a lot of the institutions that have been established today have been established to take away man's ability to rule his house, man's ability to rule. When I say rule, I'm saying scripture says when you are in charge, you do it with compassion, you do it with understanding, you lead by example, you are the first partaker of the fruit. When I say use the word rule, at no time am I suggesting that a woman should be subservient. At no time am I suggesting that a child should be subservient, because a harmonistic society is only going to work through collaboration, through being bought in. So, but when the husband is allowed to lead and to rule as a man that is being led by Christ, who is the head of the church, then he's able to establish harmony in the family. Once the harmony in the family is established, then the community, which feeds off family, will be able to help. And then the state, which feeds off communities, will be in harmony. But right now, there is a war against men, and people are influencing our wives, our significant others, thus influencing our children through the prince of the air, which is why they created a device that our children are being led by, and televisions that our women are being led by. Both are causing the man to lose sight on his role in the family and be the leader that the Almighty has called him to be in this day. So those two scriptures in totality are giving us a framework on how the adversary is going to attack our family. and the adversary has attacked our family because women don't want husbands. Women and children don't want to be led. They want to lead. But neither, according to the scripture, will be able to be successful without a head.
Yeah, so I want to go back and then I'm going to jump forward. So you mean I can't tell my wife, be quiet and obey my authority?
So you can tell her that you won't get any nookie and you're going to sleep on the couch. So that's up to you. The scripture says every man should know how to deal with his wife in knowledge. So
right.
It's up to you. If you don't want no nookie and you want to sleep on the couch, you talk to her that.
Yeah, well.
And don't forget, she can always still poison your grits or pour hot grits on you when you sleep.
So, hey, that happened to a brother.
That happened to a brother.
Yeah, he was singing Love and Happiness and got the grits pulled on him, didn't he?
Got hot grits with hot butter grits. And sugar.
Oh man. So it was caramelizing. So it was caramelizing on the skin. I'm not making light of it. Please forgive me, Reverend Al.
No.
So I want to jump forward because you brought out some very, very great points. And two words that really stand out to me are two Hebrew words. One is Jabbar. Mm-hmm. Which means to be strong and prevail, which mm-hmm. is one of the Hebrew definitions of a man, to right. be strong and prevail. And the other one is Jabriel in the Hebrew, which means man of God. So we were created in the image of God and his likeness. So we're supposed to be men of God. We're supposed to lead in love and kindness and in excellence, just like God would lead. But since we are also created in God's image and his likeness, we are Jabbar.
That's right.
Which means we're supposed to be strong and we're supposed to be prevailing.
Prevail. Yes,
we're supposed to be strong and prevail. And so what I see now is not really a bunch of guys who are trying to be strong and prevail, nor am I seeing men of God. All I'm seeing is dudes walking around with their pants hanging down to their knees, getting blunted up all day long and playing the Xbox.
So there's a new career path for men today that they're proud of. And it's called an at-home son, which I agree. But that's a new career path now. It's been made popular by one of the Jeopardy hosts. That's really brought it into mainstream. But it's called an at-home son. Have no career, no job, just at home. So again, it is impossible for this man to learn how to be strong and to prevail and to be a man of God if he is sitting under the skirt of his mother. And when it comes to these men, they're too busy looking at one another to be strong. They're too busy trying to be metrosexual to be strong, to prevail. First of all, they don't know how to prevail. Because we're not teaching people how to accept losses. When you are giving someone a trophy for third and fourth place, you're devaluing what it means to prevail and actually be a victor. In the race with Christ, you do not get a prize for just being in the race. You either go into the kingdom or you go into the lake of fire. There right. are no honorable mentions. When it comes to us standing in judgment, there just aren't. There's no honorable mentions. There's no second, third places or runner up. You're either going to get access to the kingdom of God or you're going to the lake of fire. So you have to teach men how to be strong and how to prevail. And the adversary, again, who is the prince of the air, has our women tied up in a false reality. They look at television that is pumped to them. And they are more mesmerized by a fictional life that they see in front of them. And right. what we need to peel back, this is why you don't want your women who are your oppressors, because they're going off of fiction. They want a husband to be like a fictional. They want someone who is real, tangible, you can touch. They want them to be like a fictional character. Scripture says a man is supposed, or to your point of the word Hebrew, to be strong or prevail, Javar, they want a man to be soft, subtle, and sensitive, metrosexual. They want the man to placate their every need. And a strong man is not going to sit in a house under a woman all day. Not a strong man. He's not going to lay under a woman. That is an Oedipus complex where you are sleeping under your mother. And if a man desires to sleep under the person he sleep with, he too suffers from that Oedipus complex. You have to get up from that woman and go to work. But society is no longer valuing a strong, positive man. What they want is something that is a fictional character, which is why they say they want a thug type. So there are no examples of a thug type. That is a fictional character from songs, from poems, and from TV. It does not exist. In war, you would have died on the battlefield being a thug because you don't know how to survive. So again, our women have projected this false sense and narrative on these men, and today's man, which is where this war is taking place, is no longer standing for it. He's saying, I am not going to go to work, give you all my money just to placate you and to help you live a Facebook life where you are dining, you are traveling, you are on the plane, you are taking pictures. You want me to somehow improve your mental state by taking all my finances and finance you. And the government is helping deteriorate men being strong leaders and prevailing by the policies that they have put in place. And again, we are made worse when women rule over us. That does not mean that women can't lead. That means if you have a silly woman who is a busybody and she is creating narratives and creating policies, you are going to have a terrible community and you're going to have a terrible home, especially if you are allowing yourself to be led by the emotions of a woman who is created, unfortunately, and I'm not trying to be controversial here, but women are created emotionally unstable based on their hormones that are in their body. So between a monthly cycle or between pregnancies, it does not take much to shift the balance of the hormones in a woman, to shift her philosophies or what she wants. A woman always has a need. And if you're always trying to placate or fill that need, you are going to find yourself in a precarious position because they are like the earth that receives rain and never is satisfied or never are satisfied.
So, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I was smiling, trying not to laugh because when you talk about the... all right, I'm sorry. Let me get professional. When you were talking about the emotional disposition, the emotional disposition of the female,
it
brought me back to the philosophy that I've had since I was a teenager. And ladies, I don't mean no offense, but I've always thought that most women were nut jobs in the first place.
That's
because it's always this emotional hype. And, you know, I'm married. You know, I understand how to play the game, but there is a point in life where, you know, I have to be the man. And sometimes I have to remind my wife, hey, you know, I'm a man, right? You know,
correct.
You can. So it's even involved like in some of the things that she'll ask me to do. She'll say, do you want to go to the store? I'll say no. I don't want to go to no store. But if you ask me to go to the store with you, I'll go with you. It's just in the way that I feel like I need to be approached as a man. Don't come to me passive aggressively and say, oh, wouldn't you like to go to the store with me? No, I don't want to go to the store with you. But if you're asking me to go, just say, hey, babe, will you go to the store with me? And I think that those subtleties have been in such malpractice for so long. And to your point, we've fallen under subject unto passive aggressive behavior that puts them in front of us being men.
That's correct. And so
we can't prevail because we've been under this passive aggressive rule for so long. And by no means am I trying to say that we should return to Cro-Magnon manisms and dragging women around by the hair.
But they cannot put that on men. That's not something, that's a narrative that they want to say. Men are protectors, and men understand what an asset is. And at no time is a man going to some, unless something's wrong with his mind. The ox that's plowing a field, they take care of that. The right. woman who takes care of him, he's going to take care of her. Men are not inherently violent. But to your point of women utilizing psychotherapy, if you look at what Satan did to the woman, telling her, you will not surely die, he actually sold into her manipulation. And women today are very manipulative, just like Satan manipulated her. And she gravitated towards that. That was sown in her DNA. And even today, based on their emotions, women want to, and I'm saying not all women, a good portion of women always want to be reaffirmed in their womanness. They have to be reaffirmed that they are loved. They have to be reaffirmed that they are the only ones for you. They have to be reaffirmed that I'm beautiful. They have to be reaffirmed that I'm shapely. They have to be reaffirmed that you care. My wife will compare a piece of paper to a human being and say, you are more concerned about that paper than you are me. That's manipulation. It is a piece of paper that I can ball up and put into the trash. I cannot, under no circumstance, ball up my wife and put her into the trash. Now, since I know my wife ain't going to go anywhere and I know she's not vindictive, I simply ignore her because I know that's just emotions. That's just a woman being a woman. Scripture, every man has to learn how to deal with their wife according to knowledge. And I know that is a manipulative trait that the adversary has sown into women so that they can somehow be reaffirmed. But all I'm telling you is these men who are focused in society, and we got facts to bring that, back this up. They are focused so much on placating this manipulative, emotionally unstable, hormonic being. And by doing so, they've alienated the man from his position of being a conqueror and a leader. And now he has, just through the ability of being just dismissive, he said, since I can't be what I was created to be, he's checked out completely. And now he's satisfied with being an at-home son because he cannot placate, he cannot appease, and he cannot make happy this wife that is his, who is driving him nuts. And I do agree with you that it is a societal issue. I like women. You have three daughters. I love them all. I listen to all of them. I take all of their advice, but I still know at the core that they are emotional beings. And depending on the situation, I am able to deal with them on that emotional level. But a man is not created or made to be emotional 24 hours a day. They're not. They're just not created that way.
No, I mean, I look at myself and I compare myself to myself. And I know that the older I get, the more crotchetier I become.
Oh, that's correct.
And yeah. And the less tolerant.
Yes.
For crap that I put up with. And so I'm very vocal. I think that men have to be vocal, and I'm not afraid of any man, and I'm doggone sure not going to be afraid of any woman. If that's I got true. Something to say, I'm going to say it.
Should
I think
it.
That there's a way to say it, so that it's not reproachable, if you will. Mm-hmm. There's a way to say it. But I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So what do you, if I mention take away our reproach, what does that mean in a modern context?
All right, so it goes back to what you said. If a man was created to be strong and prevailing, a reproach would be a man who is not strong and doesn't prevail. So man. The reproach is the total opposite of what the positive is. He was created to be strong and prevail. Your reproach is when you are not strong, you are not prevailing. And the people who are emotionally unstable, or as for children, their frontal lobes are not fully developed, and you have to take orders from people who are not fully developed, being children, or beings who are emotionally unstable, that means you are put in a position where your strongest traits will not surface, nor will you be put in a position where you're able to lead. So that now hinders your ability to learn how to prevail, just in case there's some type of obstacle, just in case there's some type of battle that needs to be fought, something needs to be overcome. You will not have an ability to recall any successful battles, because you won't be able to create any. Again, children, frontal lobes are not fully developed. They should not be leading at all. Right. So a 11-year-old should not be able to tell the government or their parents, who were born a male at 11, I want to be a female. So that's what the scripture, that's the reproach, because the man cannot stand up and conquer an 11-year-old because the government or these wives, and we'll get to that a little later, which is why the war on men is so serious, and they are fighting back. I don't know how successful it's going to be, but they're fighting back. But that's why that war that they have against them, because their 11-year-old children are coming to them saying, with frontal lobes not fully developed, I want to be the opposite sex. And then the mothers, who might be emotionally unstable, are agreeing with this child. And the dad is like, what the who? No. And he's going to the courts trying to get custody, but because of tender mercy laws, cannot get custody of his child to take away from this mother who has put into his son that at 11, that he wants to be a woman, and then dresses him, put him in skirts. And he tries to go to the court and fight, but because of tender mercy rules, and rules are going against men, he cannot take his son away from this woman, even though she is emotionally unstable, because the courts are leaning more on her than him. And now this child, who is not developed, with an emotionally unstable being, wants to change their sex. And the daddy, who wants to lead, wants to prevail, cannot, because the courts are siding with the mother. That reproach on that man stays on him, because he has to say that is his son.
Yeah. It puts him in a very tough position, especially, I mean, no man wants to see his family demise. No real man.
That's true.
But I think if there's an imbalance concerning the structure of that family, then it's going to be, you know, a spiritual imbalance. It's going to be a power imbalance. It's going to be a structure imbalance. And this is not the way that God intended for it to be. He intended for the man to lead, you know, it's, you know, and so if we're not allowed to lead, then my grandmother used to call them piebacks. The guys that were weak and that didn't really take care of their families. My grandmother called them piebacks. And I never really understood what she meant until I started getting a little older and I started seeing a whole bunch of pieback men, just weak. Won't shake your hand right. You know, dude, shake my hand. You don't be holding my hand like that. You know, shake my hand, bro.
Well, so that's the war on men and a war on a man utilizing his God-given abilities, which is strength. The scripture says we need to treat the woman as unto the weaker vessel because she's just from the strength. She cannot match a man, depending on their workout regimen. A man, pound for pound, depending on their workout regimens, are going to be stronger. And when it comes to the emotional stableness, a woman, pound for pound, is going to be a little more emotionally unstable. But when we're talking about the children, children can choose their gender but can't work. Something like that is only in America. Right. You can't work, but you can choose your gender under the age of 16 or under the age of 18, but you can't work. But again, they're taking the man's place and they are erasing what the Almighty has put in him to be and to become. So in 1930, don't want to get into politics, but in 1930, during the Great Depression, a lot of people don't know it, but it was the Smoot-Hawley terrorists against other countries. The isolationist viewpoint that America had in 1930s actually caused the Great Depression. So during the Great Depression, there was something created called welfare. Since welfare's creation, welfare has evolved from the 1930s. But it wasn't until an amendment to the Welfare Act in 1981, where it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, taking a man out of the home in his rightful place, being a man of God, being strong, learning how to prevail. It wasn't until 1981 that they included a provision that the man cannot be in his house with the woman, that they might not be married, but the father of the child cannot be in the house. So even there, you are now separating a harmonistic potential of a father, a mother, and a son. So the government separated them, put them apart in 1981. And then our government laws, because of a legal theory or practice called the tender years doctrine, the idea that mothers are inherently better caregivers. Mothers are not better caregivers if they're taking their son and putting a dress on them.
Right.
Especially to young children. Was prevalent for a long time. And this tender years doctrine led to mothers being favored in custody. So you got two things here. Welfare does not want what the Almighty established as a harmonistic family, which is a husband, a wife, and a child. So they separated it. And then the courts have taken the man. And this is, again, I've already said how women are emotionally unstable. They're not all. We're just talking about the ones that we're talking about the ones with the most views on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Emotionally unstable. The name that really comes to mind is Jennifer Lopez, is emotionally unstable. Beautiful in the face, beautiful in the body, and a billionaire, and still can't keep one man for 2 years.
That's a problem.
And I'm talking about white, black, Latino. She done went through the gauntlet of skin variations. Still can't keep a dude.
What's wrong with that?
Because I thought R. Kelly and J. Lo was something years ago, but I'm not gonna get into all that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna get into all that. I ain't gonna do that. All I'm pointing out is that. So you take emotionally unstable people. and not all women, but some women, and they are ruling the children. And then you have the government on two different fronts. One front, not allowing them to be in the house for welfare. The second front is in the court. So, and again, this is the war on men. So this man, I told you, emotionally unstable. She's taking all my money, spending it on this lavish life that makes no sense, adds no value. Courts are supporting her because, so say I want custody of my child because I am the breadwinner and my wife or ex-wife or a baby's mother is not. The courts get involved, says that she is the, because of tender years doctrine, she's going to be a better caregiver. They take money from his check to give to his, the baby's mother, who is not by the state monitored, audited, or mandated to spend this money on a child.
Right.
So his money is not even going to the child. It's going to her drinking, is going to her smoking, is going to her getting her hair so she can post, is going to her getting new shoes, and hit their child. They'll get a call from their child after the money is taken from their check, and their child will call them and say, "Dad, I need money." The dad will say, "Well, they just took the money out and paid your mom. Dad, I need shoes. Dad, I need food." So not only is the government stripping him of his hard-earned wages, he has to take additional wages to take care of his child that the state, the government won't allow him to take care of to help feed her emotional unstableness and not take care of the child. That's the war. And if we don't find a way to quickly correct this, we're going to have more men who see this from a 30,000 viewpoint and say, "I too want to be a stay-at-home son."
So, you know, it's unfortunate because men are not given the same rights as it involves taking care of kids. And so I'm not saying or condoning men just stepping away and saying, "You know what? I'm just done with this whole situation." But we're not looked upon the same. The woman can go in there and all the privileges are going to be given to her. When in fact, I don't know if any female that's asexual that can produce her own sperm and egg.
Can't do it.
And the last time I checked, 23 of them chromosomes are mine and 23 of them are hers. 46 chromosomes. So how come I can't have equal say-so or be involved equally? They don't look at it that way. The man is stripped. You have to prove way more than we should have to in order to get the same rights and privileges. And so, and if you don't allow them to take that money out your check or you don't pay your child support, you will go to jail.
You're gonna lose your license.
Yeah.
And when you lose your license, then you don't have any way. So Jeff Younger versus Annie Georgulis, that was a high profile case battle over their child who was transgender. So I didn't make that up. That's Jeff Younger versus Annie Georgulis. It's a very high profile case. And again, the war is this. The point that you're making to me is just so valid when it comes to a man paying for his child and the money taken out of the check. And the mother is able to do whatever she wants with this money, but the man himself is not able to control. So when you're looking at the 23 chromosomes, and this is something that, this is why, and if we don't correct this, it's just going to get worse because men aren't going to want to engage with women at all. The Me Too movement really has hurt the dating process because a lot of men just don't want to be brought up on charges because they said you are cute or you look nice in a dress. They don't want to be brought up on charges as some type of stalker.
Well, Bishop, I got to stop you right there. I got to correct you because they're not saying you look good in the dress anymore. They're saying you look good in yoga pants.
Yes, another good point. But they Man, the adversary created yoga pants, man. They shouldn't be allowed to wear that, man. Especially the young ones. Oh, Lord.
Ain't no women wearing no dresses, Bishop.
They're not wearing them where?
They're not wearing no dresses. They all wearing yoga pants, but not doing yoga.
Them yoga pants should be outlawed. Lord have mercy. It's terrible. It's terrible what it does to you. But to the point, for some reason, women are able to take control of your 23 chromosomes even without your permission.
Yeah.
And that's something that should be dealt with in the courts. When I give it to you, you do what you want with it. But if I tell you I don't want a child, that should be able to stand up in court.
Right.
And that's the war. If I had sex with a woman and she had a child, what I gave you is now belong to you. It don't belong to me. But I don't want no children. Now, if you want children, it's totally up to you. But the courts do not deal with it like that at all. And that's that greater war that men are fighting every day. It's not that they were irresponsible. A lot of time, this emotionally unstable woman, who now is what they're calling ovulating. And when a woman ovulates, she actually has a stronger sex drive. And I've already told you that the adversary sold into her manipulation. So if she already is emotionally unstable, she's hormonic because her ovaries are jumping off the wall, and she's manipulative, now that she got your hooks into you because she see your trajectory, which is financial, and she wants a piece of that, she ensnares you, takes your gift, produces a child, and now you got up to 27 years of financial indebtedness.
Yeah.
This is why men are checking out.
Yeah.
Because of that war and that dynamic, that is not fair. I gave that to you, and that was yours. But I told you, didn't want any kids. And these men now, they are checking out, and that's why they're getting off the grid. And that's why they want cash when they get paid. It's not that they don't want to take care of the child. They don't want to take care of this woman who just wanted her hooks into him for the next 27 years, who will not send those resources to that child. And that's a dilemma. That's the war. And the adversary is winning because women are still favored and their emotions are ruling a lot of these decisions. The courts know that the man should be the head, and the potential of a husband or the potential of a man and a female who have a child living together, at least it is a family dynamic, even if it's not husband and wife. At least it's a male, female, and a son, which is going to have a greater statistical potential to succeed and produce more families versus cutting the man out for whatever reason, cutting off his manhood and masculinity, and not allowing him to be the leader. If we don't shift this dynamic soon, more and more men are simply going to check out, and society is going to be at a standstill. China already is below the threshold of reproductive births. It's not just cost. It's the factors that I'm talking about now, how the courts are against, society is against. A man can't be a man. We're not talking about a rude person. We're not talking about a sexually assaultive person. We're not talking about a crude person. We're talking about a man is a man. So when I say a man is going to fart and he's going to belch. Yeah. That does not mean he need to be put in prison.
Right.
He's a man. That don't mean he ain't sensitive. He is a man. And they are stripping his ability to fart. They're stripping his ability to burp. So he's checking out. He's standing by himself. He's standing in his own room. And he is burping and farting and feeling like a man.
Hey,
gotta find a way to get him back engaged. He's got to be able to be a man. But being a man does not mean, I'm to your earlier point, men do not smack women and men do not smack children. It's right. just not what a grown, functional man is going to do.
Right.
A man that has been trained to beat women because their father beat women, that is not inherent in a man to grow up and beat a woman and beat a child. Those are learned behaviors,
right.
patterns that are passed down. That's not what it means to be a man. And a woman has learned behaviors and learned traits. All right, so she's already emotional. She's hormonic. Carry children. Ovaries popping off everywhere. Anxiety running at all levels. And these are the ones who are telling men what they want. I'm not trying to placate that. My wife is always going to have shelter. She's going to always have food. And she's going to always have clothes. And everything else she got to figure out on her own. Because I'm going to be a man. And I want her to be a woman. But to have her live her life through the prism of somebody like J-Lo. My wife doesn't. It's just an example.
Right,
through the
right.
prism of the life of J-Lo, who can't keep a man, can't keep a relationship, emotionally unstable, looks beautiful one day, non-beautiful the next day. If a man has to deal with that type of woman who wants to be something she can never be, and he's always trying to catch up, he too gonna check out after a while, which is why these men are checking out. I have several jobs, but in one of the capacities that I have, I had a man tell me that a woman literally just wanted his money to take care of her, so to fund her lifestyle so that she can keep posting. And he was telling me that these young women today not only like men, but they like women too. So he had to finance that as well. There is a man should not accept that if I'm in a relationship with a woman, that she too might every now and again like women. And since she's not with another dude, she's not stepping out on him. Man, this is crazy.
This is crazy. What kind? He ain't no real man because.
Well, no, he left her.
Okay.
That's what she proposed to him.
Oh, she's
that's what these women are proposing now.
Yeah,
which is why the war is real. And these men are like, I'm not with that.
I wish, man.
You wish you formulate the words.
It's gonna be some furniture moving.
A
small amount of furniture moving because I bought the furniture. I ain't destroying my own property. You know, I may throw a cup, but I ain't gonna be throwing no chair through the window.
No. I paid for that. And I gotta pay for it to get fixed. So no, that's not
right. Right. But it is challenging because, you know, and I see where men are checking out. I mean, I know a guy personally that, you know, had a kid, and the kid was he fell behind on this child support. The kid was grown and in college, and then Kentucky came and picked him up. He went to jail for back child support, and the child was in college. Like, come on, bro. But I mean, to take it to the extreme, though, I mean, if that they always say the woman has control over their body, the woman has control over her body. Okay, I get that. But if the man says, I don't want a kid, but he gets her pregnant, he still got to pay child support. If the man says, I want the kid, and the woman says, I don't want the kid, she can have an abortion and it's okay.
And he has no recourse. He has no remedy.
He can't say nothing about it because the woman's body is hers. which is why I do not recommend that people be having babies out of wedlock. And make sure that your wife is a spiritual woman in church that understands the laws of God, because the woman's body belongs to her husband and the husband's body belongs to the wife. So y'all need to be making codependent decisions on what's going to happen to the kid and what's going to happen, you know, to the relationship. But I can see why men are checking out. I'm glad I'm out the game, because I couldn't mess with
well, that. You are out of the game when it comes to that dating scene.
Oh, yeah. But
unfortunately, your wife is still going to watch television and they're going to try to influence her. She's still going to be on social media and they're still going to try to influence her. Their goal is to demasculate you in your position and somehow make you feel guilty because you are strong and you somehow now are less sensitive because you're not placating emotional needs. Listen, there is fictional life.
Yeah.
And then there is real life. I am not placating fiction. I'm just not. And I'm never going to placate fiction. And I'm still going to be a man. I'm still going to stay with my wife, stay with my family, my children. There are real issues. There are real harms and there are fictional harms. But unfortunately, the marriages that we have today, a lot of marriages have ended because this man got tired of placating this woman, or this woman got said, you are not doing enough to satisfy me. So he left. All of it is wrong. It's wrong. Emotions should not be ruling. Men should be compassionate, considerate, but the war that they have on men, that somehow I am less engaged because I won't placate your emotions, that's the war. That's the war. Now, I'm not telling you to tell your woman to wear one pair of shoes for 30 years or buy one dress, wear it, reverse it, wash it. It's not what we're talking about. Any man knows that a woman makes the family looks good, makes him looks good. Again, the best corporations are corporations that function together and look good together. But to lessen his ability to be a man because he won't placate something that's not even real, and being forced to their spouse through this means, Prince of the Air, be it social media, be it the television, and he somehow now, the man, is less than because he won't placate it. That's the war. If they don't fix it, it's going to continue to get worse, and more men are going to check out. These young men aren't thinking about marriage, and they tell me because they don't want the financial responsibility. They do not want all their money going to their wife, and then somehow a mother-in-law say, you ain't taking care of my daughter well enough, or get my daughter out of that house, or why is my daughter driving in that beat-up car, or why don't you get a better job? And that's the war. Men are checking out. They don't want the wife. They don't want the wife's mama. They don't want the wife's daddy. Or you get married and your father-in-law say, hey, man, I need a loan. Go to a bank. No, man, I can't go to a bank. So they are not allowing men to be men. And they're raising these women not to be what the scriptures refer to as help you meet your need. You help me meet my need. And I actually, this is why I tell you a strong man ain't gonna never hit no woman. I love you like Christ loved the church. And
right.
The scripture says that Christ died for the church. And Christ would never harm the church.
No.
So how in the world could I, being a spiritual man, even dream about harming my wife? These concepts are coming from the adversary. And that war he's bringing is against the man so that he can control society. Because if man stood up and took their rightful role, spoke their truth, this would not be the situations that we would be facing today. But because they're allowing other people to get involved, it's going to get progressively worse. And we who are in the body of Christ, we need to awaken and to fight. I love my wife like Christ loved the church. But Christ told them disciples on many occasions, no. Exactly. And that's okay.
It's okay
if she wants $1,000 purse. And it's okay if I tell her, go get a second job and pay for it. And I'm going to continue to pay your mortgage.
Right.
I'm not a less than man or love my wife less. That's the war. They're trying to make these men feel less than because they're not placating to every whim. I'm not going to do it. I don't care what my brother does for his wife, my son does for his wife. That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm going to do for my wife, especially when my wife is actually living better than all of them.
Right.
That's the war. And we can't get caught up in trying to placate. And society has to stop stepping in, trying to make good, strong men look emotionally weak or mentally weak because they won't placate fictional, fleeting emotions. And if we don't correct this ship, we're going to have more men who say, I'm a stay-at-home son.
So, you know, I got to go back because the one statement you made is that the woman makes the man look good. And I agree with that for most men, but I am so emotionally and masculine independent. So I don't need my wife to make me look good.
I
look good on my own.
That's right.
And and if she's in the picture, she looks good beside me because I'm gonna make this thing pop because I'm the man. If we go somewhere, like if we go to an event, I got on a suit and a tie.
That's right.
All of her friends going, "Ooh, your husband's dressed really nice." Oh, well, thank you. That's the way it's supposed
to be.
So, you know, I'm making her look good.
No, I agree.
It ain't the other way around, you know. So that's real men should be that standout person and not allow these pseudoistical trendsetters online to dictate what a real man is supposed to be. And
no, I agree.
I was raised by a real man.
Right.
You know, my dad would wake us up if, you know, I washed dishes, I had to help cook, but I also had to help cut the grass and change the oil.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that we had a full round family dynamic. And he taught us how to be men. He taught us how to get stuff. He taught us how to work for what we need. And he also taught us how to treat our women.
That's right. No, again, we treat our women based on the scriptures, me and you.
Absolutely.
Christ loved the church. He died for the church. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. So we treat our wives well. And when it comes to you making your wife look good or your wife making you look good, the scripture refers to a woman's glory as her hair. And the reason why they shaved it is because it lessened her glory. Mm-hmm. So a woman, really a good woman, is the glory of the man. It shows the favor that the Almighty has for you. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And the scripture says something though. Favor with the Lord. So when you find a wife, not only are you finding something good, you actually gain favor. So from that perspective, there is a glory that comes with her from the Almighty to make this dynamic work. The problem is when I have to placate a manipulative woman that picked it up from Eve, who watched social media, a lifestyle, and this is what people really don't know. Actors who act together, oftentimes, not saying it's a percentage of 50-50, but more times than not, actors who work together in a loving relationship hate each other, and it don't come out until after the show ends that nobody on the set liked each other.
Right.
But they project like they are madly in love. you know, not to just our generation. I remember when Martin and Gina were not a couple. The show was doing great. I remember when they became a couple, the show did phenomenal. And then I remember that relationship was so terrible, they couldn't even shoot the show with both of them on the set at the same time.
Right. So,
but this is what these people are getting caught up in. Yeah. They're saying, I want a relationship like that. Stop, stop. That's the war on men. Making them chase something that doesn't exist. That's not real. Nobody has it. We found out that the Huxtables, for many years, that they were our example. And it wasn't until his old age that we found out that he was drugging these women, sleeping with them on the set. And Lisa Monet was like, not me, not on my watch. I'm getting away from this shenanigans. That was years ago. So, yeah. But I'm just, and we found out in the Brady Bunch that the two actors were sleeping with each other and they were always at each other's throat. And that was the Paramount, the Brady Bunch. They didn't like each other. They sleeping with one another, tearing up each other's marriages. All this come out later. The Fonz, who was the typical strong man. He was the example of how men should be, strong, fighting, ferocious, bring people together. He's homosexual. But his role.
Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler. He's Winkler, all right.
Not the Fonz, man. Not the Fonz.
Hey.
Come on, man.
But they take these narratives.
I'm trading in my t-shirt.
They want you to be a man like the Fonz. He ain't even what the scripture calls a man. He like men. And that's a whole different.
You know you'll mess me up. You know you'll mess me up right now. I didn't know the Fonz was I thought it was hey, not hey. I didn't know.
Hey, that's exactly what he was.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
You really didn't know Henry Winkler was a flaming hot homosexual?
No, I didn't know.
Well, he is today. So he was then. He was then, and he's even today. But then it wasn't as pronounced, so he was closet. But he is a flaming hot, and always been. But again. Society tried to put this picture of who he was. He was not that. Not that. There are a lot of personalities that people like, but behind the scenes, they have chemistry on the scene, hate each other behind the scenes. And then you got the nerve, because you don't have discernment, you don't have the ability to be led by the Spirit to say, I want that. That's why when I see a nice car, I say, yeah, I'm telling you, anytime I see a nice car, first thing I see is a monthly note.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And the other thing I see is the insurance. The other thing I see, how much they got to spend on gas. So, like these beautiful homes, I drive past beautiful homes, and the first thing I see is the mortgage. I'm like, no. And why in the world do I want something just so somebody can say they like it or like me and won't pay? That's the war on real men. A real man is not doing what someone else thinks is best. They're doing what they know is best for the family, and they will not be swayed anyway. And these men today do not want to be put in societal washing machines, thrown out in the rinse, and then hung out to dry. So they checking out.
They checking out. I see a whole lot of single women.
Well, first of all, a lot of these single women need to be single because I'm picking them up and they stink. Y'all, these smell. They need to take a bath, stop smoking weed, stop smoking Black and Miles, stop getting in my car. Funky. It is ridiculous.
You didn't say they stink, Bishop. You didn't say they stink.
They stink. They get in my car and they stink. They stink up the seats. I got to come back and scrub the seats. These young women. The other thing I was telling my wife the other day, I only know it because I'm in close proximity in the back seat. They don't brush their teeth when they wake up. They just get up and go and yawn, and the whole car is funked out. Why don't these young women brush? No wonder nobody want to marry you. Don't brush your teeth.
It's brush your teeth.
Mouthwash. Use clothes. Do something to be that pretty and breast smell that terrible and behind smell that terrible is counterproductive for the species.
You
don't want none of them, but I'm seeing what they up against. I'm like, I don't want no woman don't know how to wash their body. Nope. Wash your body. Wash your face. Do your hair. Brush your teeth. Use some mint or something. And it's just. I'm glad I'm out, and I'm glad my wife ain't caught up in. She's caught up in a little bit of that, but not a lot of it. But I can manage it. Been with her 32.
Hey, congratulations.
She ain't going nowhere. You know, she's 30, she ain't going nowhere. But I encourage her not to get lost in things that are not important.
Right.
And again, sown into them manipulation from the adversary, ovaries going upside down, hormones popping everywhere, and I want you to be the one to make a game time decision. No. Need somebody who's going to be rational, look at the facts, able to make a decision. And men, strong prevail, rational, are able to cut through the noise, cut through the emotion, be a man, a good leader, not only makes a good decision for themselves, they make a good decision for a team.
Yeah.
That's what a man is. He is a good leader making good decisions. A good decision is one that works and not only bear forth fruit, the fruit multiply and the fruit remain. They
right.
are taking, stripping that innate ability given to man by the creator who we were created by, stripping him, and now he is checking out. And I don't blame these young men for not wanting these women today. I don't even want to get into the fact that they can't cook. They don't know what a pot is. They don't know what water is because they don't use it to brush their teeth or wash their bodies. They don't know how to crack an egg. They think eggs come from McDonald's. They think eggs come from Burger King. They have no idea that they start off in a carton and that you got to crack them, that you got to heat the pan. They're going to heat the pan on high. They're going to turn it on red hot. They're not going to put it on low. They're going to put it on red hot, throw a pound of lard on it, and try to crack it. Something, it's ridiculous. I've seen them cooking online and say, you started off wrong. You just started, your ingredients are wrong. You don't understand anything. You ain't been taught. You didn't want to learn. They too busy trying to be glamour nothing instead of learn how to cook and learn how to be a, how do I help him be a better person? How can I read a book that helps them be better at what they're doing? They just want to make sure that they are somehow gratified with their existence. A man was not created to reaffirm a woman's ability to be a woman every minute, every second of the day. And
right.
just because somebody hollered at you and you're a grown woman does not mean you're supposed to melt down. Women got to learn to stop melting down if they want to. I can't handle meltdown. You got to be kidding me. They just cut you off in traffic. Just keep moving. It doesn't matter. It's okay.
Right.
Stop melting down and then somehow making me feel less than because I am not compassionate in my voice about your meltdown over something that should not have happened that you should have blown off. And looked at the other positive aspects of your life. This war on men, men are checking out. They don't want to play this life chess game. They don't want to play this life checker games when they got to move and counter move. They don't want to do it. They just trying to get up, go to work, play a couple of video games, get a release every now and again, raise a family, amusement. That's it. They don't want all this other stuff. So they are checking out. And I don't like it.
You know, I do got to tell young men and older men, if you're listening at this, you need to anyway. But I want to recommend something to every man out there. You got to learn, if you don't know how to be efficient in your finances and how to efficiently structure your life sure. to where it's beneficial and has a certain flow to it that makes you successful and prevail, then you need to hook up with another strong man that's right. doing something that you're not. So I have no reason to hang out with a person, and this is no shade on anybody who has less than I do, but I'm going to always associate with people who are doing equally as well or doing better than I am.
Oh yeah.
And so you can't learn how to be more of a man hanging around guys that are betas. You got to hang around guys that are alphas.
That's right.
You know, and you know, hang around some alpha males and stop hanging around beta males. And so you'll learn how to be an alpha. And what we have in society is a whole bunch of betas, and we don't have enough alphas.
Well, that's because, again, 1981, you got the government taking the men out, so nobody's there to teach them how to be alpha. And then you have the tender mercies doctrine, where they're giving the child to the mother, and she's trying to change their sex. So a lot of these men are starting off behind the class. They're starting off with a deficit, because if they want to hang around a strong man, when they get back to their weak emotional mother, then it's a retraining. Then they go back. Then there's another retraining. Then they got to go back. Then there's another retraining. And after a while, that child going to be confused. The scriptures are clear. The house divided cannot stand.
Right.
If you're parenting differently, one child going to be confused.
Just confused. And God is not the author of confusion.
Yeah. Because they're going to see strength in one family, weakness in another. And since a child's frontal lobe is not developed, is going to gravitate to what's easy. Most children do. So the weaker parent is the philosophy that oftentimes these children pick up. And to your point of the alpha versus beta, well, they're with a beta mother who is not a leader, but following every wind and doctrine that the scripture says don't follow. And then they're raising this child. And then they see their dad. That's too difficult. I don't want to go to work every day. So they rest on a mother, and they say, I need a pair of gym shoes, and the mother go get it, or the daddy go get it. So he don't even learn how to, I need a new pair of gym shoes, get a job, go mow a lawn, go shovel some snow, go clean gutters, go wash cars. Instead of giving them something, learn how to work for it so you can appreciate it and take care of it instead of somebody giving them. We're not even putting them in a position so they can learn how to be an alpha. An alpha is going to go to work.
Yeah.
A beta is going to want something handed to them.
I think we need to teach these men. I think we need to start a club like they had an Al Bundy had on Married with Children called No Ma'am. Remember that club? His form was a club, the No Ma'am Club.
No Ma'am Club.
Yeah, we can go in there and we can teach. You know, we can all go, oh, we can be men. Teach men how to be
men. Men are burping and farting. That's what men do.
Yeah. Feed them some MREs. Give them some root beer.
There you go, root beer. That's what we do. But this war is real, and we got to just start trying to fight.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fight is yet ahead of us. I think that we have, I don't think it's not salvageable. I think it's just going to take a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot of work to get men back to the prestigious way that we used to be. I mean, I look at old pictures, and you see these old photographs, man, the men's walking around in suits, but that's the way they used to dress all the time.
Right.
It wasn't just for no photo, you know? I as a matter of fact, I knew a guy in Mississippi who worked on the garbage truck. Mm-hmm. And every time I saw this dude on the back of the garbage truck picking up trash, he was wearing a three-piece suit and some dress shoes. Now, I thought that was odd. But they said, hey, when he got this job, he started wearing three-piece suits on the back of that garbage truck.
Mentality.
Mentality. And that's my point. His mentality was not that I'm working on a garbage truck. His mentality was, I'm a working man and I have a successful career that I'm going to retire in. He retired from that job.
Yes.
But he looked at it as, this ain't a dirty job. This is a career. I'm going to dress for success.
That's it.
And so that's the alpha mentality. You got
that's alpha mentality.
Dress for success, act for success, carry yourself for success, you know, don't walk slouching over, keep your shoulders square, you know, be proud to be a man, alpha male, and don't be, yes, ma'am, oh, okay, babe, okay, no, you go about your business. If I'm going to eat, you can stay here if you want to.
That's how I feel about it.
Hey.
My wife tell me all the time, I'm too loud. You talking too aggressive. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a man.
Hey, my wife tells me the same thing. So we must be alike.
Yeah, we are a lot alike. We're just men. We're just men. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're just men. I know my wife the other day, a few weeks ago, she said she wanted a dog. And I said, no. And she said, well, you can't tell me I can't bring no dog in here if I want one. I said, go ahead and try it.
That's
true. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and bring them in. See what happens.
Yeah.
Somebody ain't gonna be happy. Somebody ain't gonna be happy. It's gonna be you, the dog, and the cat. One of y'all ain't gonna be happy.
That's correct.
Because, you know, I'm looking at not the emotional side of, oh, I want a little furry animal. I'm looking at, now we got another vet bill. Now we gotta buy food. Now we so who gonna walk the dog? I got on a sweatshirt now.
I agree.
Cold. I'm cold in my studio. I'm cold. I got to put on a sweatshirt.
Right.
Who going to walk the dog? It's raining out. I got to cut the grass. Who going to clean the poop out the yard? You going with a pooper scooper? No, we don't need no dog.
Again, we got to get back to the point where a husband can tell his wife no, and he is not somehow a terrible human. We got to get there. That's the war. We got to get back to that's okay. And it's not that you're telling her no because she's a grown woman and you're looking at her like a child.
No.
That's not it. That's not it at all. But you cannot placate whims. And the proof that I love you is not that I placate this whim. That's what that means. And if we don't shift that dynamic, men just going to keep checking out. Me and you, we don't mind because we can handle it. I can handle heat, pressure, it don't matter to me. I can handle it. Other men, that's why they're checking out, because they're seeing other men say, no, man, I'm not. Mm-mm. Nope. So they're checking out. Yeah. But if we can get that dynamic right, make it more appealing to these men, minus beating women, cheating on women, not going to work every day, not being financially prudent, and all that really comes from television. That doesn't come from the scriptures.
Right.
The scripture says you have to be a good steward over the inheritance that the Lord gave you. So the scriptures has always taught financial prudence. Scriptures have taught any man that does not take care of his house, especially from his own household, is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. So you can't find any wiggle room in the scriptures that says this man should not provide love. There's nowhere in the scripture that tells you to beat your wife or beat your children. The scriptures on the reverse, it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath.
Right.
It's a total different. So, but they are creating a narrative instead of allowing the scriptures to do what it's supposed to do. And that's lead and guide us to all truth. We are the ones that got to tell them that there is another way and a better way. And we got to follow.
Right. Exactly. Oh, one more thing I was going to say. Being a real man does not mean you sleep with as many women as possible. That's not what a real man is. That's not what a real man is. I mean, you know, you don't hop from bed to bed. You don't have like 15, 20 women stringing them along. That's not what real men do.
That's still a learned behavior. If a man is sleeping around, he learned that from his daddy, his uncle, one of his brothers. All that's learned behavior. That's a man that can't. He's just like the earth. With water, can never be satisfied, and that He's looking for something, lost something. He ain't gonna find it. Ain't gonna find it.
Well,
but he's checked out as well. That's another person is checked out.
And completely we don't checked want out. That person. Completely checked out. All right, well, Bishop, I think we've covered a lot today.
Oh yeah, and this is just a start because we want to keep on this because there's more information out there that we want to keep bringing out about this war. Because we got a course correct and we got to reverse it if we're going to get that man back in the house.
Now, man, we got to get you back in the house. We got to get you on the right path. And I'm not telling you nothing that I haven't done myself. I mean, I was raised by a strong man. Somehow I drifted off course. But then when I was able to, how can I put this, retrieve my gonads out my wife's purse. And put them back on, and put them back on. Then I realized, and I'm ex-military, but somehow we've always been, we've kind of been taught that, you gotta give a lot. You gotta give a lot. No, man, you gotta like stand firm in what you believe in, and hold up what's right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you just gotta hold up what's right. So, we're gonna continue this discussion. Y'all tune in. Don't forget to, if you want more information about Bishop Hamner's Church, Truth Ministries, email Bishop Hamner at truthministries30@gmail.com to donate to Truth Ministries. You could do via the Kroger app under Kroger Community Rewards. Type in JX228. To donate to Truth Ministries. And if you want more information about me, Jay Will and Jay Will Music Production LLC, hit me up, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. Don't forget to tune into the radio station, Jay Will Gospel Radio. Go ahead and download the Live 365 app on your phone from the Play Store. You can listen 24/7 gospel music 7 days a week. And Bishop, you have church on Saturdays. What is your streaming platform?
You can find us on Facebook or YouTube under the name Truth Ministries.
Truth Ministries,
Wilmington, Ohio. Truth Ministries, Wilmington, Ohio. Yeah, it's a lot of Truth Ministries out there, but you want to put Wilmington, Ohio, and then you'll find us on Facebook.
What time does your service start?
1 p.m. on Saturday.
Y'all need to tune in. So there may be a whole bunch of Truth Ministries. But Bishop Hamner has the Truth Ministries.
The
Truth Ministries. If you want the truth, you want a genuine person to talk to, you want some genuine counseling, this is the man you need to holler at for real. I've grown to love Bishop Hamner. He's a great person. And, me and him are both alphas. So we get along great.
That's right.
We wouldn't be getting along if I thought he was a beta.
That's 100.
I don't like beta people. But ladies and gentlemen, all right, until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace.